Does anyone else here have a hard time sharing their faith? You know, when I'm in a group like this, I can get up and I can speak the truth in a sermon, no problem at all. But you get me one-on-one with somebody, and sometimes I can turn into this pimply-faced 16-year-old boy asking a pretty girl out on a date for the very first time. And I just trip all over my words, don't know what to say. Give you a picture of how hard of a time we have with this. Did you know in the United States that it takes 85 church members to reach one person for Christ in a year's time? So for every 85 people you have, you'll reach one person. That's not very good. Look at it a different way. They say in a year's time that only 21% of Christians will invite anyone to church. Only 21%. And the vast majority of those that we invite are already Christians. They're already members of a church somewhere. We're just trying to get them to hop from one church to another church. Only 2% of those that we invite, just 2%, are non-Christians. Now, today we wrap up our series on walking with God. Throughout the series, we have been talking about spiritual disciplines or spiritual habits for ordinary people. And I hope this series has been an encouragement to you. I hope it's helped you in your walk with God. But one of the most important things that we can do in our walk with God is to help others walk with Him too. It's something that we as Christians all should be doing. When we walk with God, that's a journey we don't want to make alone. We want to invite others on the journey too. So how do we make this spiritual habit a part of our own walk with God? And I've wrestled with, well, how do I want to approach this? Because there's a number of ways you can approach this. There is the obedience angle. God commanded it, so you better do it. The Great Commission. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus said it, so now we need to obey and we need to get out there and do it. The thing is, we already know this. We already know that this is something that we should be doing. But still we have a hard time with it. We know we should talk to Jill at work. Like last week when she said something about, you know, there's got to be more to life than going to work all week, getting a paycheck, paying the bills, and then turning around and doing it all again. And we knew that would have been the perfect opportunity to say something, but we didn't know quite what to say. So if it isn't the obedience angle, maybe we could try the guilt angle. So, you know, some preachers are really good at laying on a heavy-duty guilt trip. You know. Just imagine your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your loved ones going to hell. And imagine what judgment day will be like to see these people facing eternal punishment and you didn't say anything. The problem with the guilt trip is I think we already kind of feel guilty that we don't say what we need to say. We already feel bad that we don't, you know, talk to Uncle Joe and have that conversation with him. And the problem with the guilt trip, if I spent 30 minutes laying on a heavy-duty guilt trip, it might motivate you for a little bit. But guilt doesn't work in the long term. Not really. So maybe we could try the education angle. If you guys just had the right knowledge, if you had the right resources, then you could get out there and be good witnesses. You just need the right tools. So we'll have a workshop and we'll have workbooks and we'll teach you how to share the four spiritual laws, or the Romans Road, or we'll teach you to share the peace treaty, or any one of these systems that have been put together to help people share their faith. And that kind of equipping is a good thing, and it's good to have tools and resources, but that alone isn't going to make you a bunch of evangelism pros. The reason that, the real reason that we don't talk to Uncle Joe is not because we don't know what to say. But even when we do talk to him, we end up not saying anything, talking about anything more important than who's going to win the NCAA tournament. I think the real reason why many of us don't share Jesus like we should is fear. We're scared. And we're not just scared that we don't know what to say. We're not just scared that we're going to say the wrong thing. In today's culture, we're afraid that we might offend somebody. We're afraid that we might lose a friend. We're afraid that we might damage a relationship. We're afraid that we're going to get talking to somebody and then they're going to ask us a question and we won't know the answer to it and we're going to look like an idiot. And we don't want to look like a kook. We don't want to look like a religious nut. And so we end up not saying anything. And so I want to share some information with you this morning that will be helpful. And at least I found it helpful. I found it enlightening. So there's going to be no drill sergeant routine, no guilt trips, no notebook stuffed with papers. But what I hope is just some good practical insight for you. A few years ago, a guy by the name of Tom Rainer wrote this book called The Unchurched Next Door. Tom used to be the CEO of Family Lifeway, Lifeway Christian Stores. But since then, he's become a church leadership consultant, and he runs a business that does a lot of research into churches and stuff like that. And he and his team spent 2 years interviewing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of non-Christian people. And they asked them all sorts of questions about Jesus, the Bible, the church, and faith. And they compiled all of this information, they put it in this book, and the results are very insightful, but in some ways the results are not surprising at all, because basically what he has found out is exactly what Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells a parable. It's usually called the parable of the sower. And you know the story. It's the farmer who goes out and plants a seed. And as he scatters seed, it falls on different kinds of soil. Beginning with verse 5, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times or more than what was sown. Now Jesus goes on to explain that the different types of soil represent different kinds of lives or different types of hearts. Not everybody hears and receives the good news of Jesus the same way. Some people are very receptive to the gospel. Others are very resistant to the gospel. And this is exactly what Tom and his team found, that amongst the non-Christian population of the United States, there are different kinds of soil. He divides them into 5 different faith stages according to their level of receptivity to the good news of Jesus Christ. And he labels them U5 through U1 for unchurched. Unchurched number 5 through unchurched number 1. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't like the term unchurched. I really don't. Because what's going to send people to hell isn't that they're churched whatever that means. And I think we've had probably enough of churchianity. People are going to go to hell because they don't know Jesus, because they don't have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what matters. But I'm going to stick with his nomenclature here, because that's kind of what's established. But I want to look at each one of these things, and it'll help you understand and appreciate where the person you're working with is coming from, where your next door neighbor is, where your relative is when it comes in terms of sharing your faith. And what we'll find out is the thing that often terrifies us in sharing our faith isn't as common as we think. And instead of just me telling you about these things, what I thought I would do today is I wanted to invite five imaginary friends of mine to come and one from each group to explain a little bit about what they think about God and faith and the church and that sort of thing, to give you an understanding of where non-Christians are coming from. And we will start this morning with the toughest one of them all, unchurched number five, Mr. U5. Now, Mr. U5 is highly resistant to the gospel. He's antagonistic toward anything having to do with faith or Christianity. He reminds me in many ways of Demetrius the silversmith in the city of Ephesus. We read about him in Acts chapter 19. Paul comes to town and he begins to preach and teach about Jesus, and large numbers of people become Christian. And Demetrius and the other silversmiths, well, their job is they make silver idols of Artemis. And that was the big god there in Ephesus. Well, all of a sudden, people quit worshiping Artemis and they start worshiping Jesus, and that cuts into their bottom line. And so he becomes this ardent opponent of Paul and the church, and eventually it leads to a riot in Ephesus. He would be a U5. So, good morning, Mr. U5. It's good to have you here today. Thank you for joining us. Let me just ask you, have you ever considered the claims of Christ? Have you ever thought about becoming a Christian? Yeah, I've thought about it. And I rejected it a long time ago. I mean, why would anyone subject their lives to that kind of primitive thinking? Why would you live according to such antiquated ideas? It's beyond me. I'll have you know, I have a master's degree from a highly prestigious university. I've studied under the most learned professors. I've read the most respected philosophers. And there are just too many objections to Christianity. And I'm not buying into any of those old wives' tales. And the Bible, well, you know, it's got its place as a piece of literature, but it's just myth and legend. Science has disproven many of its claims. And if you ask me, Christianity is just a crutch for weak-minded people. There is no way that an intelligent, rational, reasonable person can accept its teaching. I tell you, if a Christian could ever show me how their faith makes sense from a rational point of view, then I might be willing to listen. Wow. Well, thank you for joining us. I do happen to know of many Christians who are very intelligent, who present a very reasoned defense of the gospel. If you would allow me to recommend, nope, my mind's made up on this one. Well, thank you for joining us. Have a good day. Now, Mr. U5 here is the reason a lot of us are scared to share our faith. We're afraid we're going to start talking to somebody and we're going to run into somebody like that, and they'll have these arguments and they are going to chew us up like a wood chipper. We won't know what to say. But here's the thing about Mr. U5. He represents a very small portion of the non-Christian population, about 5% of the people. So chances are, if you talk to somebody about your faith, he's not going to be this guy. And even if he is, it's okay. Be kind, be loving, and move on. It's okay, because the next person you talk to probably won't be like Mr. U5. The second person we're going to talk to is Mr. U4. Now, him we would categorize not as highly resistant, but we would still characterize him as being resistant to the gospel. Now, he's not opposed to faith per se, but personally, he's very resistant to it. In many ways, he reminds me of King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. Paul was in Roman custody. He had appealed to the Roman emperor. And so as he kind of worked his way up the legal food chain there, he found himself before King Agrippa. And in giving his defense, he presents Jesus. And King Agrippa was more than willing to hear Paul talk about Jesus, but he wasn't accepting any of it. And King Agrippa tells Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to become a Christian?" Now, there's a lot more of Mr. U4s in the population than there are of the U5s. He represents 21% of all non-Christians. So, Mr. U4, thank you for joining us today. It's good to have you. What is that you have there? What is it you're looking at? Oh, this is my list. It's a list of every Christian who's ever let me down, every Christian I've known that's failed to live up to what they claim. You wouldn't believe how many times Christians have done me wrong. And you know, here's the thing that really bugs me, is that these Christians claim to be the only ones that have it right. But how can you claim that believing in Jesus is the only way? What about Buddhists or Muslims? I know many that are sincere. They follow with all of their heart. So who are Christians to say that their way is any more true than theirs? You know, I don't really have a problem with God. I believe that there is some sort of higher power. And Jesus? Well, I believe that Jesus was one of the greatest men who ever lived. He was a wise teacher. He set a very moral example. If everybody lived the way Jesus lived, this world would be a better place. My problem's not with Jesus. It's his fan club that drives me nuts. They don't do as he taught. They don't live as he lived. And then they go around telling others that their way isn't right. Don't get me wrong. I'm a very spiritual person. But you just show me a real, genuine Christian that I might listen. You show me a church that isn't full of phonies, well, then I might go. Wow. It seems as though you have had some negative experiences with Christians, and I apologize for that. I mean, we're all sinners. All of us fall short of what God wants us to be, but I don't know of any Christians who claim to be perfect. But I do know many whose lives have been genuinely changed by Jesus. I'd love to introduce you to some of them if I could. We'll talk later. That's Mr. U4. Next is the U3. Now, the U3 on the surface doesn't seem opposed to the gospel, but he doesn't seem in favor of it either. We would say that he is neutral. And the U3 is by far the largest group of non-Christians in the United States, representing 36% of the non-Christians. Now, they're happy to talk about faith. They're happy to talk about Jesus. They're just not ready to make any decisions about it yet. So, thank you, Mr. U3, for joining us. It's good to have you here today. Mr. U3. Yeah, I'll have to check those figures and get back to you. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you'll have my response by tonight. But hey, I got to go. Somebody's wanting to talk to me here, okay? All right. Bye-bye. You got to excuse me. I've got phone calls to return, emails to answer. I got a big deal closing tomorrow, and it's a big deal. You see, if we close this deal, I'm a shoe-in for the department director. And I've been working for this for a long time, and so I've just been busy. Anyway, what were you wondering? Oh, yes, Jesus Church, that sort of thing. Well, to be honest with you, can't say as I've given it a lot of thought. I suppose church is all right for those who have time for that sort of thing. I'm too busy. There's some Christians in my office, though, and they're okay, I guess. Especially Jones. He's one of the best employees we got. And I'll tell you something about Jones. He's an honest guy. He'll shoot straight with you. But I'll tell you this. He'll never make department director, that's for sure. He just doesn't have the drive and dedication. You know, he doesn't always accept the extra assignments. Wants time with his family. Doesn't always work late. He volunteers for something at his church. He's always doing good. You know, come to think about it, Jones talks a lot about his church. Sounds like a pretty good place, actually. You know, I'm pretty busy, but a Sunday morning, I could probably swing it if he ever asked me. I have to think about that. Mr. U3, I'll help you get that opportunity. But thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. And good luck on that promotion. Next comes Mr. U2. And the U2 is somebody that we would qualify as receptive to the gospel. They're happy to talk about spiritual things. They're interested in discussing these things. They're curious about Jesus. What they need is just a little bit of guidance. And they represent 27% of the population. So more than out of every four people you meet is going to be like this. He's very much like the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, who was willing to hear the good news of Jesus in the right situation. That's all he needed, was the right circumstances and somebody to talk to them. So let's meet Mr. U2 this morning. Good morning, Mr. U2. It's good to have you here today. Mr. U2, excuse me, what is that you're listening to there? Oh, U2. Makes perfect sense. What is that? Excuse me, I'm sorry. I just lost everything here. I was spaced out there for a moment. You've got to forgive me. It's just that these lyrics, he sings, "You broke the bonds, you loosed the chains, you carried the cross of all my shame, you know I believe it." And he's all the time singing about God and Jesus and spiritual stuff, and it's really got me thinking, you know? I mean, I know there's got to be this spiritual dimension to life, but where does Jesus and the church and the Bible fit into all of that? I mean, I know a lot of Christians, and some of them are very spiritual, but some of them aren't spiritual at all. I pray, and I hope that God is listening. I even read my Bible, but a lot of times what I read just confuses me, and I just wish somebody could explain it to me. I've thought about going to church, but, well, I don't want to just show up by myself, you know. How do I know which one's the right church for me? And I'm not sure I would even fit in there. What do I do once I get there? But man, I have a lot of questions that I would really like to get answered. Well, interesting. I appreciate you joining us this morning. And I think I know the perfect person for you to talk to. And I'll introduce you as soon as we're done here. Thank you very much. The final person we want to talk to here this morning is Mr. U1. And Mr. U1 is highly receptive to the gospel. He just needs to hear it. He just needs somebody to explain it to him and show him the way. U1s represent about 11% of the population. And he reminds me a lot of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. If you remember that story, the eunuch is riding along in his chariot. He's reading his Bible. He's very intrigued by what he reads. And so God sends Philip along, who rides in the chariot with him, explains the scriptures to him. And somewhere along the way in the journey, the eunuch says, "Look, here's water. What's keeping me from being baptized?" And right there, on the side of the road, he's baptized into Christ. Classic U1. So let's meet Mr. U1. Thank you for joining us today. It's good to have you. I'm glad you could be here. Oh, thank you for having me. I am so excited about this opportunity. I've just been looking forward to it. You know, I've been praying that God would show Himself to me. And I've been reading my Bible. And when I read the Bible, it's as if God is speaking directly to me. And then you called and wanted to talk to me this morning. And I'm so excited about it. There's so much I don't know. I have so many questions. I know I need something more in my life. I know I need to do something with my life, something deeper. I just need someone to show me the way. You know, I want to be close to God. I want to live a good life. I just don't know if I can ever be good enough. I'm not sure I could ever measure up. So I was really hoping that you could help me. Well, Mr. U1, I would love to talk to you. So as soon as we're done here this morning, I'll sit down and visit with you because I think I can answer some of your questions. Now, I hope that gives you a little insight and understanding to the people you work with, the people you play ball with, the people you go to school with, the people you may eat Thanksgiving dinner with, where they're coming from. And understanding where a person is, their different faith stages, or what kind of soil they are, can help you in talking to them and understanding how to approach them. But before we close this morning, I just want to offer you some practical pointers in sharing your faith. So as you walk with God, here are just three things that you can do to make it a part of your walk with God that will help you share your faith. Number one is this. Invite someone to church. Invite someone to church. One of the most interesting statistics that's in this book is that 70% of non-Christians, according to their own responses, say they are at least somewhat likely to attend church services or a Christian-oriented event if they were invited. 40% say they are very likely to attend if invited. The reason they're not coming is we're not inviting them. 70% say they would somewhat likely come, but only 2% of us are asking them. Do you see the problem there? Tom Rainer says in this book, the single most effective thing you can do to share your faith is invite someone to church. That's it. And there's a lot of things you don't have to do. You don't have to wear a sandwich board that says the end is near. You don't have to go knocking on the doors of strangers. You don't have to go shoving literature in their faces. You don't have to shout through a bullhorn, "You're going to hell!" You just have to invite them to church. That's it. Number two, don't be afraid to talk about spiritual matters. Do you know many times we as Christians are more afraid to talk about spiritual things than non-Christians are? And I know the old adage is don't talk about, well, what two things aren't you supposed to talk about? religion and politics, right? But here's the curious thing about that. People today are ready and willing to talk about spiritual things. And you just put it in terms of spirituality, and you'll find some people very eager and receptive to talking about that sort of thing. And it's a lot more easy to work into a natural conversation than you would imagine. You don't have to shove it in their face. You don't have to force it. You don't have to hit them over the head with a Bible. You just have natural, everyday conversations and turn that conversation to matters of faith. The third thing is this. Build genuine personal friendships with non-Christians. And build a friendship where you can influence them. If it's the other way around, then that's not going to work. But you see, the biggest criticism that non-Christians have towards Christians is that we are hypocrites. And you know what? We all are sometimes, right? Every single one of us. The problem is they don't know us personally enough, close enough to see the genuine faith behind it. I was talking with somebody just this week, and they were like, you know, my problem with sharing my faith is I don't have any friends who aren't Christians. Who aren't Christians. And they have found that once you have been a Christian for 3 years, you end up, all of your close friends are inside the church, not outside. That's why it takes 85 people to reach one person for Christ. And the most effective Christians at reaching non-Christians are new Christians, because they're the ones with all of the non-Christian friends. So we need to be more deliberate in building friendships with non-Christian people. If everyone that you hang out with is already a church person, you need to find a way to bring one or two non-Christian people into that circle of influence in your life. If you do that, no, you're not going to be perfect, and you don't have to be perfect. They just need to see that you're real and that your faith is authentic. And then you have some conversations where you talk about some spiritual stuff and you invite them to church. And before you know it, you've helped win someone to Christ. You've helped somebody walk with Jesus too. You've invited somebody to go along on the journey with you. So I hope knowing this brings you some encouragement. I hope it helps you overcome some of the fear, the intimidation that you might have in sharing your faith. And I hope it encourages you to look for some opportunities to do some of these things. And I'll just take it right back to these names we put on the cross a few weeks ago. To be thinking and praying about a non-Christian that you know, and to be looking for an opportunity to invite them to church on Easter. Easter's 2 weeks away. So over these next 2 weeks, be looking for that opportunity to invite them if you haven't already done so. Be praying for them. Look for those conversations where you can, as the Bible puts it, season with salt. A little bit of God talk in there. And you can invite them to church. Would you please stand with me as we have prayer? Heavenly Father, each one of us is a witness for you. How we live our lives from day to day, the things that we say, the things that we don't say. And what we're asking here this morning is that through your Spirit, you would help us be intentional with that. That you would help us be deliberate in how we go about sharing our faith and help others join us in the journey where we walk with God. So I pray that throughout this week, that each person here will have that opportunity, and just tap them on the shoulder when it's time, Lord, and just let them know, hey, this is the person. This is the time. Say something. Don't be afraid. Say something. That is our prayer.
Jesus.